order. It's 8:45. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer, Dorn will be absent all day. Consent agenda, general agenda, approved minutes of meeting held January 11th. Approve all claims through January 25th in the amount of $349,858.33. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve chairman signing scrap tire collection site cleanup for political subdivisions, tire amnesty application with the amount requested in $26,984. Approved applying for a grant on 11-16-11.
Well, I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Okay, Terry, go ahead.
There is a $140 item here through John McDwelling. I'd like to have that pulled and voted on separately.
Okay. The above item pulled as Terry requested, so we will vote on all the other bills except that one. Vote.
Are you going to vote on all the claims?
The claims, yes. Terry, are you going to abstain then?
We're voting on.
No, we're voting on all of them. You're right. Okay, 6-0. Now we will vote on what's the.
I'd make a motion to approve the claim for Johnny's Welding Shop in the amount of $140.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer in favor with Juergens abstaining. One more over. Abstaining for the above stated reason. Christina Lyons, County Aid and Enhancement Grant and approve or disapprove grant and having chairman sign grant.
Just County Aid. I did not do the enhancement grant this year. Should have all.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen them?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those are the signature copies. Everyone should have gotten one. Every year, do this grant. It is a part of having an updated county plan for juvenile justices. We have to update our plan every 3 years. This is the year that we will update our plan. I think this is about, Roger asked me the other day, I think this is about the 8th year that we've done this plan. It's money allotted to every county who has a plan. This year the money is a little bit less than previous years just because the number of juveniles apparently has went down in our county. It went from 19,387 to 16 something. There is a 40% match required, and that is an in-kind match, money already spent in our county in juvenile court. Usually about, I think it's a little over $6,800. We usually average around $40,000 to $50,000 in money spent in juvenile court, so we easily meet that match. In past years, the very first years of this, we used this grant to fund our community service program with a contract with Stephanie Wallman at the Beatrice Police Department. However, she has left. Last year, I used this grant to build up the Gage County Juvenile Diversion Program. And this year, as you can see, I'm requesting funds for juvenile services coordination so that we can report everything going on in our county, of which there's a lot, and a lot that I'm already working on. But this way, we can have a more of a coordinated effort. Any questions?
No questions.
And make a motion to approve the County Aid Enhancement Grant as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
Lisa Wiggins, discuss livestock-friendly application. Lisa's not here. Mark Mites, Emergency Management Director, update on narrowbanding communications project.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're probably just about as tired of hearing about this narrowbanding stuff as I am. We're down to the nitty-gritty here on getting this project done. Of course, the narrowbanding project is a project where we're reprogramming all the fire, rescue, EMS, and law enforcement radios in the county. In the process of this, we've had to replace some equipment that wasn't narrowband compatible, so we've been doing this over the past year. So I used part of last year's budget, budgeted more money this year's budget, so we've kind of spread it out a little bit. We have a plan here for everything except for the highway department. And so we really need to, I'm going to get this completed, the law enforcement, rescue, and fire departments completed, and then shortly after that we need to take a look at the highway department radios. That particular repeater, we rent that repeater. The radios are ours in the vehicles and the handheld radios at the highway department, but we rent the repeater from Schaefer's Communications. We pay a monthly fee for that. He's ready to narrowband that repeater. I've cut him off until we get this all stuff done, until we can, because we're going to have to buy about 30 radios at the highway department. So we need to take a good look at that. The committee does, I guess. When we get done with this, I'll meet with the Road and Bridge Committee, and we can discuss that. So keep that in mind. But right now, over the next couple weeks here, we're going to try to finish this part up. Beatrice Fire Repeater, we bought a new repeater for them through Homeland Security grant money, so I was responsible since it's Homeland Security grant money for that. That's going to be installed tomorrow. The Homestead, if you remember, we're putting the voting site at the Homestead. We'll have that done by the end of March. We received our licensing on that now. The Adams Link, which links the law enforcement officers together when they're in Adams, we're going to turn that on. And after the programming, we will have that ready and running on the 13th. On the 6th of February, we're going to be doing the PD Main, administrative channels, voter sites, the six different voter sites that we have in the county. And then on the 8th, we're going to be doing the Sheriff's Department's vehicles and all the corrections officers. 13th and 14th and 15th is when we're going to be doing the fire departments and outside repeaters for those fire channels. One of the big things we have is that a lot of the, there's three styles of pagers, Motorola pagers out there, Minotaur 3s, 4s, and 5s. Unfortunately, there's only one style that'll work narrowband, and that's the Minotaur 5s. I sent out a letter on January 8th, I think it was, requesting information from all the departments, January 4th, excuse me, requesting it back by the 18th. And I went and collected one last night at 10 o'clock from a department. Just helped them finish it up. I've got three more departments that don't have them in, but I've talked to all of them last night and this morning, and they're finishing them up and getting to me, but I did get some figures for them, from them, excuse me. In this process, and I wish Myron was here, it had to happen during the flooding of the Missouri River, believe it or not. Some communications equipment was moved over along the Missouri River. Whether it was on the Iowa or Nebraska side, we cannot pinpoint that. Obviously, when they moved the equipment, they did not get permission from the FCC, so it's not a licensed station. Before that, we could pick it up once in a while, but what it has caused Adams Fire and Rescue to do, actually, is some of their members are even shutting their pagers off because there's so much garbage on the channel, paging doctors at 2 o'clock in the morning and et cetera. So a lot of the departments have started buying the Minotaur 5 pagers. Some departments, Blue Springs and Barnston, don't have any. They each need 25 pagers, so we're working with them. Some departments need 10 more. I got a department needs 12 more. So we got some departments that need a lot of pagers. Of course, when you buy anything in bulk, it's a lot cheaper. What I might propose to do, I met with I stopped in Lincoln yesterday and met with both radio shops, and I got a proposal if we purchase together, although he'll bill it out to separate departments, but if we all order the same day, the pagers right now are running about $458. If we buy at least 75 pagers, make one order of 75 pagers, I can get them for $377. So I've told a lot of the departments that don't order no pagers yet, because if we order them all the same day, you know, we're going to get a heck of a deal. With that, though, with the paging problem we have in Adams, is what I'd like to do is buy out the pagers that they bought, which is about 50 of them. The pagers, there's two ranges on the pagers. I should back up a little bit. So we would change Adams' frequency to the frequency that we're using in Cortland and in Claytonia. But the pagers will not range that far in frequencies. So you have to have two different frequencies, two different pagers with the frequencies ranges in them. And so what I want to do is buy out Adams's about 50 pagers, and most of them are new because Minotaur 5 has only been out for a year, year and a half. We'd buy them out, give a couple pagers to each department, and they would get the new pagers with the new frequency, and they'd all be narrow-banded. That would allow us to take pagers, and we'd be spending the same amount of money if we bought every department in the county a couple pagers. I think they have enough pagers that we could get about two or three departments with each department with two or three pagers. Some departments say they don't need any more. So, you know, we'd offer them to them. If they don't need any more, that's fine. But Adams Rescue said if he would finish up buying whatever he needed, but 25 would be fine. And Adams Fire Chief Scott Bohr, I just talked to him, and he said 25 would be more than enough. So if I bought, the county would purchase 50 radios. It'd be just under $20,000. And again, if I add these all up again and I take them back to them and we're over 100 pagers, we get another price break. So what I'd like to do, I saved by bidding out the narrowbanding project and doing a lot of the footwork myself, I've saved about $20,000 that we'd already had budgeted for this project. Take that $20,000 and buy $20,000 worth of pagers and then distribute them to the Adams Fire and Rescue. Take all the other pagers and distribute them so everybody gets a few pagers to help these departments out. If a department was like the quote for, I think it was Barnston that got a quote, or Blue Springs got a quote for 25 new pagers, it was about $12,500. And so that's a pretty good hit for them since they just built a new fire station. So this would help them out a little bit, help everybody out a little bit, and get everybody going on the narrowband project. So hopefully I didn't confuse you too bad.
Just a question. Where are we at as far as contracts with Adams? Didn't we have some issues as far as contracts with them and not contracting because of our medical officer and what have you? Where are we at on that? We're buying them pagers and taking care of them financially, and where are we at?
I think that's, we're probably providing these under the fire side as much as anything, aren't we?
Well, that'd be Adams Rescue. Would be both their pay. Together they have about 50 pagers.
That contract did not cover pagers or any of that, though. Matt,
this is separate than the interlocal agreement with contract for services of a medical nature. The communication equipment is a contractual language that is in the 911 communications agreement with the city of Beatrice. And so this is a separate issue. It's communication, not services. They seem congruent, but they are separate. And so there's a communication issue that the county, by interlocal agreement with the city, and I don't know if you have a contract in front of you that says the county will buy communication equipment for these services.
Okay.
And so
we'll buy, but touch on that.
I don't have the exact language in front of me, but it's not what
don't have to buy them all, but we buy some.
Yeah, we've purchased a lot of this equipment already. When I first come on board and we started the Homeland Security grants, we've upgraded the whole communication system. We bought every fire and every rescue and every law enforcement, I did radios and pagers back several years ago. And at that time, I think I bought them 5 pagers each. And Homeland Security grants since then has not allowed us to buy pagers. They can buy radios, but they will not allow us to buy pagers with Homeland Security money. And on the regional basis, to get money to do this, we're not. The region has decided not to buy individual departments' radio equipment. It all has to be regional, statewide communications equipment. So,
It just concerns me some that they haven't agreed to respond as we have asked them to, and as our doctors have asked them to, and so it's just sitting out there. I think the people of Adams in that area need to have adequate protection, need to be served, and so we need these radios. There's no question. But having the communication, but then not responding as or agreeing to respond as you're supposed to, according to state law, it concerns me. But I'll support getting the radios, but I still have a concern about their participation, their interlocal agreements with us.
Any more discussion?
Mark?
Kathy?
I just want to make sure I have this clear in my mind. Adams has 50 pagers, but they're the wrong frequency.
Right.
So we're going to trade out those, and we can use the wrong frequency ones someplace else.
Yep, and the other departments.
Okay, so yep. We will use those, and we'll trade Adams with 50 of the correct frequencies.
And I visited with some of the chiefs last night, too, and stuff, that this is what a plan would be, and they said that's fine with them. Some of them are that Adams Rescue just bought or even under warranty yet. So a lot of them are. I shouldn't say some. A lot of them are, because within the first year they're still under warranty. So.
And then how would it be determined who gets the pagers? Are they requesting them, or?
I'm just going to divide them up evenly. And like I said, one department said they have plenty. They really don't need them. So if another department needed a couple more, they'd be willing to give their pagers up. So. So we'll just divide them up evenly, and so that should give us, there's 12 departments, because Beatrice Fire and Rescue and Beatrice Rural Department's on another whole frequency, so neither, and they just bought all new pagers. They've got, both those departments bought all new pagers. So there's 12 departments out there that I'd split them up between. Actually, you'd take, it'd be 10 departments, so each one actually would get 5 pagers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
This come out of emergency management budget?
Yeah.
And that's the communication line there? Is that correct?
It's at 60 there.
There's, I'm just so we're all aware of where we're at here. 5-1550, and this is the end of the year one, the final expense report from 12/28/11. There was a balance of $39,425 in there. Is that the line you're looking at? Okay. Just so we know where that's coming from.
Mark, concerning the highway department now, you said 30 radiators or radios are going to be needed down there. What's the cost of those then?
We're trying to determine. We're doing some testing now, and I haven't talked to Bus down there for a little bit, but we're doing some testing to see if we can get by. When they originally put them all in, they put 100-watt radios in, and that's really not needed anymore. The 100-watt radio is needed in the gravel trucks, because they can talk back as far as they can when they're on the way back with asphalt or something. But on some of the smaller equipment, we're not replacing them with regular radios. We're going to have some handheld radios. So we're still, coming up with some figures there. The 40-watt radios are about $700 a piece. 100-watt radios are $1,800 a piece.
I mean, does every vehicle down there need one of those radios in?
No.
Okay.
No, he's,
right,
Galen and I were working, Bill, we've been working on that, and okay. Bill says there's trucks that have radios that's probably never been talked on before.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're nothing we can, we're going to gather them all up in a pile and see what we can do as far as make them surplus and then try to sell them to.
That's what I was going to ask. Are these
country
radios that are in those vehicles?
The only place you can sell them to is another country.
Are they worth anything?
We're hoping
any
they're worth
value
something
on those. What time frame does that have to be done?
Probably, I tried to push him into where we can do it into the next year's budget, so we can probably get it started, and then pay for it in the next year's budget. But he really wanted to get it done sooner than that, of course, but I think I've talked him into putting it off because I've got him pretty busy working on this. So.
Does that money come out of the Highway Department then?
Yeah.
Is that where that will come out of?
Unless we budget next year into my budget for it. It just depends.
And
so I have bought pet radios for them in the past out of my budget.
So. Any MPG money?
Yeah, we've used some of that for that.
And the reason we're doing this isn't because they're broken or anything's wrong here.
Right.
Who mandated the narrow frequency band?
FCC. It's a federal. Everybody across the United States has got to be completed by December 31st of this year.
We're not changing because we want to.
No, I don't want to.
We have to.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, and we're doing it. We're getting a little bit of a jump on it. The city went on their own and has another company involved in it, which I still have to work with them. But we saved a lot of money by bidding this thing out. I mean, we did an informal bid, and right off the bat, we got contractors. I'm using two contractors, D&D Communications and Schaefer's. They're doing it by the hour instead of by the radio. And so it's saving us about $20,000. So,
Mark, how much federal grant money is available for this project?
For this, for the new equipment, we was able to get to 50%, but for the labor to do it, we're not.
So it's, there's some, but not.
Yeah, no. Originally, we thought it was going to cost us $30,000, and I'm going to get it done for under $10,000. So, but it's doing. I have Dave helping me. My deputy, Dave Niemeyer, is helping me do some stuff. I'm doing some stuff. So we're trying to do a lot of the footwork and inventory.
State bids.
Yes. Okay. The pagers are on state bid.
Okay.
That's a state bid price. Under state bid price,
that
actually.
Question is because yes. We are not violating the open bid requirements.
Yeah. No, that's a state bid price. So.
Any more discussion? Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I would make a motion to approve the funding for the purchase of pagers for an L-banding communications project.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Lisa, you're up.
Good morning, everybody. In front of you, you have big notebooks. That is the application.
Handwritten?
No, most of it, what the application actually is it's really a compilation of already approved zoning regulations throughout the communities and also includes Beatrice, our comp plan. We have support letters in there from Paul Hay just explaining livestock production and so forth in there. And then obviously the resolution that you guys developed supporting the livestock friendly issue. So again, it's all points to that we highlight throughout our regulations that they ask for in the different sections. So we have the city of, again, Beatrice's zoning regulations in there, Pickerel, Odell. Then you get into the wellhead protection areas. We've highlighted the maps and so forth, which we have for that. So it's just to make the application process just a little bit easier for the state so they can make sure that we have looked at every avenue as far as protecting the wellheads and so on. In the back, then, there are support letters from the pork producers, also the Nebraska corn growers, and the Chamber of Commerce. So very simply, it's completed with the help of Jeff Jensby and also Paul Hay. And so we are ready to give this to you, and about the only thing that's left to do is just to sign the form.
And it has been reviewed by the county attorney's office, correct?
Oh.
I know it has.
I know Amanda has looked at it, yes.
I just wanted it on record.
Yes, it has been. At our zoning hearing or zoning meeting the last month, she did acknowledge what we had gone through. So.
Good enough.
So that is pretty well it. As soon as that's completed, it's going to be about a two-month turnaround by the time the state looks through everything. They're traveling quite a bit right now, so they're telling me about 2 months, and then they'll let us know, and then we plan accordingly. So,
okay. Good enough.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to approve the livestock-friendly application and have the chairman sign the application.
Second. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote.
6-0 to approve.
That will be the white copy. Is actually the state's copy. If you sign today, I will hand deliver that then.
Okay. So. We will get her signed.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm hearing very positive things, Lisa.
Oh, that's good.
People both in and out of town are very positive about that.
Just another zoning note. Just we had our hearing on the City of Beatrice's landfill. That is the first step of the process that's required in approving the landfill. It will go on to your agenda next month, our next meeting, I believe, to place a hearing, and that will be the first step, too. These are procedural things that are necessary from the DEQ and the EPA for the city to start the process, because actually they're asking for a hearing with this board in May, and it's a time factor. They have to get all their water tests in and things like that. So, but questions on that? Oh. Perfect. The rest of the copies, one copy for county attorney, one copy for Dawn. That will stay in her office. I'll take one copy for zoning, and then we're complete. So thank you.
Terry's got it. Thank you. Wim, you're up on a report on the warranty work progress and finalization of the re-roof project.
Good morning, everyone. Well, we had four issues that were outstanding on our warranty work. One was the drywall repair that was going to get done. Dave's been working with the drywaller. There was two times that have been established that they were going to come down and do the work. They had to change their dates to come down and do it. They assure us they'll be down either Thursday or Friday of this week to get that work done. Dave asked me the question last week as to who was responsible for the touch-up painting on this drywall work. And so I asked that question. Cheevers will send someone down from their organization to take care of that touch-up work. One of the other issues was the fire sprinklers, the little leak that's down on first floor. That's been put off for the time being. There are some sprinklers on the east end of fourth floor that, because we didn't finish that space in there, the sprinkler heads were directed upward towards the drywall ceiling. There's been apparently some discussion about the use of that area and whether it should be developed at some point in time here in the near future, which would mean a lay-in ceiling goes in, which means then we would need to reverse the direction of those sprinkler heads back to the down position so they penetrate through the lay-in ceiling. And so we've asked the fire sprinkler company to just stand by for now until a determination is made, because when they do this repair work, they're going to need to drain the entire system. And it made sense for everybody that if we were going to flip these sprinkler heads around, we should do that at the same time so we don't have to drain the system again. So there's a little bit of limbo there in a decision process as to what's going to happen with that space on fourth floor and how it may affect. So as soon as there's some determination there, we'll schedule that work to get done.
And we'll have some discussion on that later in this meeting from our committee. Relative to that space.
The heat pumps were an issue. They have been down to do some maintenance work, and at the same time they verified that the units were working as they were supposed to be working. According to Climate Master and Vision Mechanical, they're operating as advertised. So Cheevers has started a conversation with Gary Engineering about their load calculations and things like that to see if they're matching up with what we're finding and if there's any discrepancy between what Vision Mechanical is telling us and what Gary Engineering's calculations are telling us about how they're supposed to be working. So there's progress being made on that, but I don't have anything definitive for you as far as an answer. Sorry, Don. But we're working on it. And then our roof closeout, I've been working with Rick Schreiner trying to pull all these numbers together and come up with some information that he and Roger can then put together and we'll present to Scott Enterprises. I have some more information. Don gave me some information that I verified is already in our figures. So that information, I can give you those copies so that you have that. But we've already included all of that in the numbers that I've given Rick.
Okay.
I think that I've given as much as I can, but if there's anything else, please let me know, and I'd be more than happy to go through it. I tried to get a hold of Rick, but apparently he's Jefferson?
Yeah. Today?
He's
covering another matter. Yeah, and that's appreciate that. And what I'll probably do after you get the invoices and check everything is go ahead and come back to the board and you know, here's the number and present a final letter of basically of reconciliation or resolution so that we get a final check to them and we're done.
Right. Yeah. Correct. There's still some paperwork items that I need from Scott Enterprises, and I'll take that upon myself to get those.
If you want to just shoot me an email so I include that in that final draft. So
yes, yeah, if I don't have that resolved by the end of the week, which I, given the history of this, I doubt very much will happen, but I will try. It's a signature on the substantial completion and the final pay request, still the math doesn't work, so.
Roger, do you want a copy of what I gave you? That's the extra copy.
Well, should we bring you back in a couple of weeks or what have you so we can try to still get the, we're trying hard to get these things finalized?
I think so. I'll work with Rick and Roger, and when they feel it's appropriate, then I'll contact Don and get on the agenda to come down and we'll close this out.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. That'll work out. Because I would anticipate we'll bring you a proposed
Well, Matt, figure. It works for you for finance because we aren't going to do anything until we approve it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I know Roger was, a month ago, was hoping to wrap this up by the end of the month. So we've been working towards that end.
All right. Good.
Anything else?
Thank you, Wim.
All right. Thank you all.
Appreciate it. Approve or disapprove resolution for professional service agreement between Gage County and Minnelli Wagner for construction engineering services for STPE Bridge 3265 Barnston South.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens.
Do you want to?
We need a correction in the resolution. It states Dave Anderson, chairman of Road and Bridge. And now we need to change that to Chairman Terry Juergens of the Gage County, Nebraska Road and Bridge. So have the motion state that on resolution number
12-02.
12-02. Matt, you comfortable with that on your motion? Second was Terry. Comfortable? Okay. Any more discussion?
Should we explain briefly what this is?
Go ahead.
This was the winter work that was done, some concrete winter work on that Barnston South Bridge. And there was some debate whether or not that was going to be paid and the additional work that Mark Minnelli had to do. So we have to approve this so that Minnelli and Associates are paid through, I believe it was federal aid dollars. So this isn't an additional expense for us, but we have, since it's our project, we have to authorize that that was taking place because there was some debate over whether or not that winter concrete work was appropriate. Once it was deemed appropriate, the additional work that Minnelli and Associates has done, we had to approve and say, yes, okay. But we're not cutting a check. We're just authorizing that that work was okay. That's what this is.
Aaron? And this was work done a year ago now,
yes.
Mind you.
Yes,
so not
winter
this,
of...
Not this winter.
Winter of
yes.
2010 or...
Yes.
Yeah.
2010?
I think it was 10, wasn't it? Or was
11.
It? 11. Early 11.
2010?
Yeah, 2010, yeah. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove members and alternates to the committees and appointments listed. Building grounds, economic development, emergency management, equalization, finance, human resource and employee relations, insurance, law enforcement, road and bridge, and the appointments on American with Disabilities, BOSWA, Blue Valley Communications, Five Rivers RC&D, General Assistance, Personnel Board, Public Health, Region 5, and Region 5 Systems, Services, and Systems, Safety Committee, SEND, Visitors Committee, EMS Assessment Committee, and Security Administrator.
I'll make a motion to approve the members and or alternates to the committees and appointments listed on this sheet that I handed out from Don's desk.
Thank you, Matt.
Second.
By Bauman, seconded by Beyer.
With the correction that the visitors committee is Lytle as the member and Setzer as the alternate.
Correct. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Discuss and approve or disapprove standing rules for Gage County Board of Supervisors. We've had no changes or requests for changes on that. It's the same as it's been last two or three years, for sure, anyway, two or three years.
Move to approve them.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Committee reports. Terry, you want to start?
Yes. I think everybody's got the department activities, what we've been doing down there the last few weeks. In committee this last Monday, one of the main items, I guess, we were discussing was fuel contracts. We're checking that out. We can book some fuel for this coming season, which we use a fair amount of fuel through the whole county system, and I think it's prudent to look at this. So we're looking at it. Haven't done anything yet, but I think in the near future we should be doing something concerning fuel. The other main meeting item, we had a special meeting with Mark Minnelli concerning the Hickory West Road Project. He will be, or Galen, or the office, will be contacting the landowners down that stretch of highway, see if we can work together with them concerning some right-of-way concerns we're going to need to address. And the time frame that he was looking at, you know, if we go ahead with this project, it would work out to be a two-year project. The first year would be the grading, the culverts, and then let it set, and then the second year to a paving project. So that's the route we're looking at going if we go ahead with this project. So you'd be basically looking at a two-year plan to do this. Basically, that's about it. Did you have anything to add on that with Manelli, Matt?
Finance.
We really have a whole lot for finance. Just kicked around the idea of trying to get the budget hats on, start thinking about that. That'll be here before we know it. There is a request from Cortland Rescue for an AED purchase, and so I've contacted, or Myron has, so contacted them through Myron to make a request similar to what we did with Claytonia for the laptop request for documentation. So again, we had some extra dollars for EMS stuff budgeted there, and they're the only other request at this point. So that'll be coming at some point to this board for approval. Other than that, just kind of, again, went through claims, trying to, again, put our budget hats on. So
Denny, Building and Grounds.
Hey, Building and Grounds. We had had a meeting this week with our Vice President of Construction and Custodial Care, Mr. Jones. He's not listening, so it's no fun. Vice President of Construction. We have a number of projects that Dave is recommending and has discussed with other office members that they've requested through work orders. He's been looking at the old county attorney's office, the possibility of doing restoration. As Wim noted, as far as the sprinklers, that's the area we're talking about, and restoring that. And I'm going to list these, and then I'll have Dave come up and talk about costs and go through some of those details. We don't have anything on the agenda for approval today, but things we can think about and then bring up at a later time, but things I think we need to be done. The possibility, Mark and Dave have been talking, and I think the Emergency Management Committee has also, on moving EOC across the hall, giving them additional space, and we need storage so bad in this courthouse, using that area that we're presently using for additional storage.
You want to touch on why we're moving it to the ground floor?
Storage?
Yeah.
I'll let Dave do that.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why don't we take, let me list them all, and then let's take them one at a time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Then we're talking about in the clerk's office. Now, we had the safety issue in the vault, and we've looked at that and corrected that. We need shelves in there very badly, and we've done some pricing, and Dave has looked at possibly doing that work himself, which would be substantially less expensive, and he says it won't overdo his obligations. And I have had some contact from Southeast Community College relative to the monument in the front, so I will be pulling together our Building and Grounds Committee, Friends of the Courthouse, and some representatives from SCC to move forward to try to get some more information relative to that. Security issue that we visited with the sheriff about on Judge Corslund's office on, I called an escape door for him out of his office, and we can talk about that. But why don't you go ahead, Dave, and if you'd like, since there's a question, you could start on the move on the EOC thing if you wanted. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. As Denny said, we tossed around a lot of ideas and getting bids on future things that would improve the building. We're looking for the best ways to utilize the space we have left. And one of our concerns is because of the weight load, in the old superintendent of schools office, there's 50 file cabinets in there, and I estimated that to be probably 12,500 pounds in that one room. Just over the years, it's grown, you know, to be quite a few file cabinets in there. So what we're thinking of doing would be to bring those file cabinets downstairs to the EOC room, and this the EOC room would be storage for both the county court file cabinets and some storage for district court also. The new EOC would be moved into the existing employees' break room now, and then Mark and Sean would have office space behind the EOC room. And the break room would be moved back to the north side of the hallway where one of the old EOC offices was at. And I think that would give enough space for the employee break room. The only concern I would have is sometimes in the winter time when the roads are bad and everything, sometimes the girls would bring their lunch and have a place to eat. That might be kind of small for a lunchroom type deal. So maybe we can talk about that some more. But then if we did take the file cabinets down from the superintendent of schools, that room would be empty. It would be turned into a multi-purpose meeting room, conference room, whenever we would have safety meetings, or I know Lori Wallenberg has needed space when she has her delinquent tax sales and things like that. We still need a large space for things like that.
I'm going to talk a little bit about your estimates on both those, on the move on EOC and also on restoration.
To move the EOC, Mark and I did some figuring on that, and we came up with around $3,700, $3,750 to do that move. That would be carpet, phone and data lines, counter in the EOC, removal of a closet to put a door in there. There's a sprinkler head in there. We would put a door between where the driver's license room is now to block that from people from driver's license to the EOC area. So that was $3,700. And then we did some looking into the old county attorney's office. We've used that for storage, and it wasn't used for good storage. There's a lot of junk up there. We went through it, got rid of a lot of things, and found some space up in the attic for some things also. So that room's pretty well cleaned out. We do have some storage of county assessor's office still has some things up there. I could find some room somewhere else for them. But all in all, that room is cleaned out, and it's some really nice-looking office space if we do ever want to turn that into offices. And that's where Denny had brought up the sprinkler heads would have to be changed out. So if we were going to do that, this would be a good time to turn those around. And if we did that, we would do the suspended ceiling at the same time. The total cost for that office would be $7,816. That would be for carpet, changing the sprinkler head, suspended ceiling, and the electrical also. There is some electrical in there, but when we changed the plan to have the county attorney's office to the west, we pretty much just put in the minimum amount of electrical in that room at that time. This bid does not include, there would be some wall repair, and there would be some computer cabling to be brought up there also. And that would be a pretty easy run to bring up computer cables. There's a large chase on the east side to do that with. So yeah, the total figure for the county attorneys was $7,816 for that.
Is there money in your budget now to do that, or Matt, is there?
I think I'm running kind of low on any.
Yeah, I wouldn't propose we do this in the next month or 2 months or something. This may be part of a plan we look at next year. I my real concern is the weight in that superintendent's room. I think there's probably quite a bit of merit for switching the EOC PDQ because if you walk in the floor, you can just sense that there's a dip in that floor, and there is. I mean, you said how many file cabinets?
It's 50 file cabinets.
It's amazing the weight that's on
that
floor.
It's above county court, correct? So it's a big span right there.
It is.
We're okay leaving the sprinkler heads like they are now, but we'd have to switch them if we put in the suspended ceiling, right?
Right. And that's where if we that would be for the old county attorney's office. If we did want to turn that into office space soon, it would be nice to do it now, while they do dump all the water out, and then they could just change those heads. But if we did do that, we would have to spend the money for the suspended ceiling at this time also.
What would that cost just for those sprinkler heads?
Changing out the sprinkler heads was $875, and the suspended ceiling was $3,542 for those two items.
Could we go ahead and do the sprinkler heads now and do the other part of the project later?
Yes, we could, and I would recommend doing that. That way, that would be out of the way.
My understanding, talking to Mark, was that there was a sprinkler issue that we need to take care of in the new EOC also.
Right. Yeah, there's one
yeah,
head.
But I mean, if we're going to move them PDQ, then we need to do probably all of it at once, I would think.
We'd have to visit with the fire marshal to see if that would pass, because if they turn the sprinkler heads over for the suspended
right.
ceiling. That we'd have to check with the fire marshal to determine if, because this is a fire rated ceiling, like this is what we put in there, and the heads, as you can see, are below, so it's fire rated, so fire can't go up. So if we put the new heads in, I think before they would pass inspection,
right?
You'd have to
do the suspended ceiling.
That's why I was asking that question.
Yeah, because one of the reasons why it's so cheap to change the sprinkler heads is because they're going to be here for this annual inspection and fixing the leaks anyway. So we're taking advantage of someone else paying for part of that and making it a little cheaper. Although I'd have to visit with the fire marshal because I think he's going to require you, once they move the heads the other way, to put the suspended ceiling in for fire rating.
Can we do that by the next meeting so we can place it on for approval or disapproval for the next meeting? Wim, you had something?
I was just going to add to that. He may grant you a waiver because you're moving forward towards an end goal, and so he may say, I'll let you guys flip the sprinkler heads now because it makes sense, with the assurance that in X months you're going to put the suspended ceiling, which would fit in.
Because we don't have $11,000 budgeted for that project. I think we've got some dollars budgeted in your budget that we could do the more immediate need of getting the weight off of there in the EOC. But as far as tapping into finishing that room, if we can do sprinkler heads for $800, and if we can do that, that probably makes sense. And then squat, we just don't have that in the budget at this point. But I think it's a good idea to move those around, especially that weight on that floor.
Right.
And BOC, don't you recommend, though, on this area that we place that on the agenda for approval at the next meeting? And then EOC, Mark, you want to talk with Josie relative to the move of the EOC? You have any comments?
If I could just wait to do that until I get done with the narrow banding project the next couple of weeks. We could get that complete in the next couple of weeks because we'd like to work around the schedule of the sprinkler system again. So.
But does that affect you moving any of the filing cabinets? You could get some of them moved, correct?
Yeah, moving them really wouldn't take.
Yeah, I mean, you could get some of the weight out of there.
We moved them last time in probably half a day.
Yeah, if you got the weight out of there, then some of the.
Let's go ahead and start doing that, and then again, we'll put the EOC changes up on the agenda for the next approval or disapproval, if you guys are okay with that.
Yep.
In the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
Wim?
If I may, on the EOC move item, one thing to consider in that is the fire marshal has given the county time to rectify the west stair fire rating issues. We would have to check with him at the same time to see if, now that we're doing some more improvements to the building, if he's going to require that west stair be addressed at that same time, because that would be a budgetary issue that you'd have to consider also.
We're not doing improvements, we're just moving offices. I guess it would be my response, we're not doing any improvements, we're just moving offices. We're moving file cabinets and we're moving desks.
I would encourage you to have that conversation with him, but he is the fire marshal.
This was kind of earlier, didn't it, with he kind of mentioned before about that left there.
Well, yeah, I mean, his first reaction to the west stair was that he wanted to see fire rated doors put where we don't have fire rated doors now. Basically, that stair needs to be, that whole west area needs to be converted to a 1 hour fire.
Is the fire marshal a taxpayer of Gage County?
Yes, he is. He lives in
all the dollars that department has cost us.
I can't argue with you on that. But when the city got rid of the governing entity of fire marshal here in the middle of our project.
I'm with Matt. I guess I don't understand why we're even having fire department, fire marshal discussion when we're just moving things in an office. Did we not meet the fire marshal requirements on the last phase of the building?
We did, with the exception of the west stair, this west stair right here. And because when he made it an issue, we were winding down everything. I asked him if he would grant the county time to allow it to recover and come up with a plan on how to address this west stair within the next year, 2 years, somewhere down the road. He agreed to that. I have nothing in writing that says he agreed to that. However, that work still needs to get done. My solution, which he, rather than putting a bunch of fire-rated doors in and sealing off this whole east or west end, I proposed a solution to him of terminating the stair at this level, second floor level, where we have an outside exit. We would remove the stair portion that goes from this level down to first floor
and reinstall the exit door that used to be where Dave has storage now. He agreed to that. That would allow all everything to stay where it is, with the exception of you wouldn't be able to come down this west side all the way to the basement. You'd be able to come from fourth floor down to second floor, and then you'd have to go out. So that was a much simpler and less expensive
solution. Remember these conversations, Denny?
Vaguely. But
see, I don't.
I think police was part of that.
You might, I would just suggest, you know, like Wim says, let's talk to them. I understand frustration, but you need to, we need to work with them. And that's, you might not like it. And but again, he'll throw at you the safety of our employees and our public that come here. And that's hard to argue with. But and let's talk to him, because, again, Wim worked something out, and we need to be able to do the same thing here.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because you are talking about whether it's an office change or however we want to define it. There's a possibility that he may walk in the building at that point and say, you're working in the building, you're moving things, you're rewiring. Now I'm going to require you to update that stair, because it's still an issue in his mind. He's not pressing it. But I just want you to be aware that he may. And I don't want that to be a surprise.
Are there other projects, because four of us are new here. We have, and it sounds like some of the rest of you really were not aware that this is looming out here that needed to be taken care of. Is there somewhere a list or something of the projects that were promised would be followed through on through the renovation that are going to come up and bite us now and say, well, you know, you said you would do this and we don't know that we're supposed to be doing anything on it, such as the west entrance?
I think there are additional things on the outside that have no safety concerns, you know, that we just put off because of budget. And we'd spent the dollars that we'd allocated, and but this is something.
This is the only one that's being required by a safety entity, a code official, a fire marshal, that kind of thing. There were, as Denny said, there were a few things that we omitted from the original scope as we were going along. The north door, for instance, some resolution as to what to do with this north stair, whether and how to incorporate that with the north door so that we had access from the outside to the elevator. Those really were the only things that were left out. And the reason that we didn't address this fire stair issue at the time was a budget constraint, and it came as a result of the elimination of the Beatrice Fire Department taking care of the fire marshal duties, which at that point they were able to write their own rules. As once that position was terminated and it was handed back over to the state fire marshal, they've got a whole nother rule book. And we've lived up to that.
But there's nothing else looming out there that they're going to come back and say, well, you promised to do this within...
That we know of.
No. I guess my thoughts are, you know, this is a great planning. It's a great idea. I thought it was just moving offices. There's influence by some external forces here that are beyond our control. I guess we just put a plan together and plan to do nothing until we get the wink and the nod from somebody that will allow us to take care of our own public building.
I think
with respect to that entity and the public safety, I understand all that, but, you know, if there are other things, you know, we probably need to have more conversation. I thought this was a simple office move, and apparently it's not. And so I don't want to get into a situation where we're hitched on, you know, we start off with a $3,200 move of office, and it turns into some fiasco. I guess I think it's a great idea. I think there's a lot of weight up there, but where I'm at now is it's a great plan, but here's more work that we've got to do because something that was simple.
You can still move some of those cabinets.
Yeah.
Still move the cabinets.
Yes.
Mark, you lose a little bit of the north end or the west end of that, east end of that office maybe, but if we can relieve a little bit of weight for a period of time, if you can live with that, and we'll, I mean, I guess that's, I'll just shut up.
Mm-hmm. Gary.
Wim. I think I remember some discussion, but why don't we go over this west stair again? What's the actual issues that the fire marshal has, and would some simple labeling take care of the issue that says it's off limits? Is there so? What's the actual issues here?
The issue is that the stairs it extends to basically 4 stories. With those guidelines, you're required to do certain things. One of those is to have it all 1 hour fire rated. Once you exceed the 3-story limit, then the 1 hour fire rated enclosure rules kick in. That's why, and I tried originally to do what you're suggesting, is do something with signage, maybe put a gate across so that when you got to this level, you could not go back down. That doesn't close it off. So my solution was, and Dave and I talked about it a little bit, how much do people actually go down all the way to the basement, you know? And by then the solution is to terminate that stair at this level, which now you're 3 floors, and you don't have to 1 hour fire rate that whole enclosure. What it does, though, is it eliminates people on 4th floor. If the county attorney's folks want to go to the break room, they aren't going to be able to use that west stair. They'll be able to get to here, but then they'll have to go over and go down the middle of the building.
Is that really a problem?
No, we can handle that.
Yeah, nobody has a real issue with it. But in eliminating that, terminating the stair here on this floor, that still allows everybody to evacuate to an outside exit that covers our fire safety requirements. And it eliminates, it's now a 3-story, a true 3-story stair, which eliminates all your fire rating. It also provides another exit out of the basement on this west end. So for instance, if whether EOC is on the north side or the south side of that corridor, it would provide another exit for EOC to evacuate or gain access to the building without going through some other door. There's advantages and there's disadvantages. The main ones are the fact that you won't be able to transition all the way from 4th floor to the basement on the west end, and then, of course, the financial aspect of it, which it seemed to me it was the least invasive to restore that door to go to the outside on this end rather than try to fire rate that whole shaft on this west end, because it was getting very, we were having to add 3, 4, 5 doors and some walls in order to make that happen, and it seemed like a much simpler solution. And like I said, Sean with the fire marshal's department has agreed to that plan if the county wanted to implement that.
Okay, any more discussion?
I'm presuming if I'm hearing the feelings of the board, you want to put this off for a while, moving the EOC offices,
yes,
and just try to get some weight off of the...
Roger suggests that we move them into the South 2EM, the offices of the driver's license, where they can be secured for the county court system. And that way your office cannot be secured that way, so we'll just move the filing cabinets to the south side. And if we got to put a door on that one where the door was taken off, we can.
Okay.
So that way they're secured yet for the court systems.
All right. We'll just table that for a while.
Yeah.
And the next thing, the clerk's office on the shelves that need to in the vault.
Yeah. This goes to a safety issue that we have in the vault. I did get some bids on making some cabinets out of plywood. It'd be birch veneered plywood, and after receiving some bids, we thought it would be easy for me to actually build them myself if I did have Dale's Cabinet Shop gave me a bid on material and labor, and they said that they could do it for it was $800 for material and about $800 to $900 for cutting the board to length and width and putting in a dado groove, and so there would be just the assembly in there. And I feel comfortable that I could do that at this time. Even if I had it bid out, I would still have been involved with tearing all the old stuff out and helping put the new ones up. So that's something I thought I could do. This would create 6 new shelving units for the vault, at this time.
Attached shelving.
Yeah. Attached, yes.
So we're talking about $1,600
approximately. $1,600 to $1,700, and what I'd like to do would be to build the shelving. I talked to Don about that, and there's some space in between, and I'd probably just build one more box-shaped type shelving with adjustable shelves for the other side.
And if we had it done outside, it'd be $6,000 to $8,000,
right,
something in that neighborhood. But if Dave does it, it'd be somewhere around $1,600. We'll put that on the agenda for approval the next time. And okay, and security door for Judge Corsland's office.
Yeah, originally in the plan there was a door in the judge's office, and at that time he could have accessed the restroom. After talking to the judge, he said he really didn't think he needed to have that door there, so we did delete that. The sheriff has recommended more or less not as a door just to go to the restroom, but as an exit door to put that back in place. So we do still have the door. It would just have to be installed, and we would probably have to install a card reader in that location also. So we do have the door upstairs in the attic at this time. So,
any questions on that?
Nope.
That we'll put that on for approval.
Okay. And the last item I have would be we've had discussion about what to do with the Civil War monument on the south side, and we did toss around the idea of maybe putting a roof on it to protect it for future deterioration. I did do some checking on it, and a guy that did the seal work on the north side window project, his name is Greg Dennis, and he is seems very knowledgeable. I know Wim has given him high recommendations as far as mason work. He's one of the best guys around. He recommended that on limestone, the best thing to do is to protect it is just to make sure that no moisture ever gets in there. So he's recommending there's some fillers that have been around for a long time that they use. He said they're time-tested. They've used them for over 30 years, and they are not breaking down at all. But he's recommending any cracks or anything to just to protect it, not put a roof on it. He says the best thing for limestone is to let it, if it does have moisture, to let the sun dry it out, let the wind dry it out to not cover it up. But
how does he preserve the names then?
Well, we talked about that. Those are solid stones. You could actually re-engrave those names. One recommendation I was going to make would be to get the names and not put them back into the stone, but just have like a bronze plaque somewhere located. Maybe do a small wall or something and put them on a plaque and just kind of leave the monument as it is, but do whatever we can to correct it. And that would be the retuck pointing of it and just putting the stuff that he recommends into the cracks and just leave it alone is what he's saying. Just, keep the moisture from entering into it.
Okay. Anything else?
And that's it for me.
Gary, did HR meet, or can you talk about any of that?
Yeah, we did have a meeting with myself and Matt, and Don was present also with a teleconference with Pam Bourne, and we just discussed some exempt, non-exempt status issues with, five or six different employees, and I think we're getting close to finally moving forward on that after finally getting legal advice that says this is the way we need to go. I would like to continue on that project and try and kind of finish it up so that we don't get delayed again with the new committee. So, with permission, I'd like to finish up that project.
I think we're hand-in-hand with Kathy on it. Yeah.
So.
I don't see an issue, is there?
No.
No.
I would like to see you get that finished up.
But that was pretty much it.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Matt.
Emergency management. Specifically EMS agreements. You'll see everyone has those in front of you, and Rick Schreiner's been working on these to amend these agreements. Really, I'm just going to focus on what some of the changes were between the old ones and the new mid-year adjustment. Number three, the administrator used to be in this agreement, the Gage County Emergency Medical Services Advisory Committee. The advisory committee is no longer existent, and the administrator of this agreement is the county. The
Number four there, the annual review of this agreement shall commence with the filing of the annual emergency medical services report to the Gage County Clerk, and it will no longer go to the advisory committee because that advisory committee is no longer around. Number nine, you'll see the qualifications for medical services, and this is accountability for taxpayer money being sent out to another entity. There's initially there were only three, and now there are one, two, and let's see, there's verbiage in here. C is to provide the county with a quarterly emergency medical services quality assurance reports prepared and signed by the departments, a physician medical director, whoever they're using, and that's up to them to do that. Where before those things were reviewed in that advisory committee, so now these will be submitted to the or by the physician medical director to the county, and then that's what we'll use to make sure that folks are meeting requirements like the documentation, the turnout time, and things like that. Number 12. Number nine, I bounced around there a little bit. Number nine was verbiage that said the county shall provide quarterly educational programs facilitated by the emergency medical consultant, who currently is Dr. Rice, and that the county further agrees to provide the services to any county EMS service who wishes to use him at no expense to them. You know, we're continuing to do that. If you want to use him, we'll pay for that. But again, these are at-will agreements. Everyone can decide, as far as the department, whether or not they want to be a part of this, and they can choose their own medical director if they want. So we'll send those out to the entities that actually hold the license for these squads so that they can review them. Rick has, I believe, visited and made adjustments to this with legal counsel of the those entities, and so Rick's put a lot of work. So there, I know Don had already pointed out some things. You know, please read through those. We're going to modify some of the dates that are in there to match where we're at now. Again, we need to send them out to the different entities for review, and then just again that Rick is working with that legal counsel. So there's been some emails that have come to me about when's this advisory committee meeting again. Well, it's not, but there'll be quarterly educational opportunities for them to come to and retraining and stuff like that. And those have taken place in the past, have been real positive, had great turnout. So that's good.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors? Anything else for the good of the order? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 9:57.